And I invite you to turn with me to the very first book of the Bible, which is the book of Genesis. That's right. And we're going to start with the very first verse of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, a passage which many have memorized, and I trust you have memorized as well. Here's what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want to share with you this morning why I don't believe in evolution. There are those who try to tell us that all the things that came about as a result of accidents and accidental procedures. Now let me just say that we want to make sure that we know what we're talking about here at this point. There are two types of evolution, or two divisions we may say. There's microevolution, the realization that there are changes within species. So over time, people have gotten taller. So if we were to compare ourselves with people a couple of hundred years ago, on average, we're a little taller now than we were. But what we're talking about here this morning is known as macroevolution, the idea that one species can change into another species, and that over the process of millions of years of time, there were simple life forms which evolved and then have turned into complex life forms like us. Well, I don't believe it. And I want to share with you this morning four reasons why. First of all, science does not demonstrate it. Now hold with me. This is important stuff. This is why you took science a long time ago and biology. One of the things that we know is that life does not come from non-life. Never has. When I was in biology years ago, we learned about the silliness of people who used to believe in something called spontaneous generation. So, for example, you'd take some oily rags and some wheat or grain or something, put them in a box and wait for a while, and it'll spontaneously turn into mice or rats. And we know that that's not how you get mice and rats. You just leave the food around, they'll find it. And even in my book, the biology book, it said, no competent biologist today believes in spontaneous generation, the idea that living things come from non-living things. But that happens to be the foundation of evolution, that life came from non-living things. In other words, somehow it spontaneously generated. Even though scientists have spent lots of money and lots of time trying to duplicate anything like it and have done so unsuccessfully. Nobody has been able to produce a living thing from dead stuff. And yet the foundation is living came from dead stuff. And we say, well, we just got to accept that. How about the two laws of thermodynamics? Oh, that's pretty good, isn't it? Now, rather than just give you those laws, I'll tell you what they mean. Unless energy is put into a system, the system will head towards maximum randomness. One of the best examples I know is your bedroom. Without the expenditure of energy, would you like to know what a dorm room would look like? Now, some of you know. If you don't clean it up, it's going to become a mess. And, when that happened, when I was in school and they said something about it, I said, all I'm doing is practicing the first two laws of thermodynamics, demonstrating science in real life. However, they made me clean up the room anyway. okay, well, that's basically what it says. Without the expenditure of energy left to itself, nature is going to head toward maximum randomness. But evolution tells us that exactly the opposite happened. That without any kind of input, without any kind of help, we just headed from simple, unorganized stuff to more complex kinds of things. But that's still never been demonstrated in real life. Let's think about the building blocks of life. Now, this gets a little more complicated. The building blocks of life are amino acids. There's about 2,000 of them, I read, but only 20 of them are used in living things. Now, if you hold up your hands, you'll notice you've got two hands, and they're sort of a mirror image of each other, right? You've got a right hand, and you've got a left hand. You all got that, right? All right, well, amino acids are made the same way. They're left-handed, right-handed, or left-handed. That's all right. From your perspective, it was okay. In living things, there are only left-handed amino acids. Now, right-handed ones exist, but they are never found in the proteins that make up you. Now, if we were going by random chance, how many of the amino acids ought to be right-handed? 50%. Ought to be 50% right-handed and 50% left-handed. Can you explain to me how come there are no right-handed amino acids in your body? Or anybody else's? Only left-handed. How about DNA? Amazing field today. DNA, that is the genetic information that makes you you, that makes you unique. And the proteins that make you up are incapable of assembling themselves together without the assistance of DNA. DNA in the life process is what causes them to get organized in the correct order and manner so that it makes you, you. The information coded into the human genome. Now, how in the world do you go from simpler life forms with less DNA to complex life forms that require the addition of DNA genetic information? There is no known law of nature, no known process, and no known sequence of events that can explain that. How you take something with smaller amount of information and turn it into greater amount of information. Now, let me just use this Bible as an example. Over the course of years, how many of you have had, you've got an old Bible someplace that has pages that have fallen out and come unbound and that kind of thing? This one here, if you go back here, I've actually had to use some tape to put, you know, keep them from falling apart. And then when those pages fall apart and fall out, what happens to them over time? You get a smaller Bible. Now, that's true for any well-read book, that kind of thing. But how many of you started out with a New Testament, and as you read it, you gained the book of Psalms? And after a while, the book of Genesis shows up. And after you're reading that book and you continue to read it and wait a lot of years, Isaiah appears. And then Jeremiah. Hey, listen, it doesn't work like that. You don't get more information added by the usage. If you've got a book like that with all of the information and you keep using it all the time, you're going to lose stuff. In fact, it makes a whole lot more sense to be able to explain the complex DNA informing the human genome and pieces fall out of it or get messed up and create problems and sicknesses and illnesses. It doesn't make sense to start with a shorter one and that this stuff is going to get added to it and make it more complex. Now, another amazing thing about DNA is the DNA is only made up of four chemical bases. Four. And everything about you, how tall you are, the shape of your nose, color of your eyes, color of your hair, type of hair that you have. I mean, just go down the line. The fact that you've got five fingers on one hand, five fingers on the other, the fact that you've got a right hand and a left hand and not two left hands, all those things are all developed and designed and programmed in a DNA strand that has just four bases. Isn't that amazing? In fact, it's a study of DNA that has caused some atheists to realize that doesn't make any sense and have turned to an understanding of intelligence design. I need to move on, so let's move to the area of probability. Probability. Well, probability is in statistics, and it tells us how likely something is to happen. So, for example, if you take a penny and you're going to flip that penny, what probability is it that it will land on heads? 50%. Okay, it's going to land on heads or tails. I can never remember flipping a penny and having it land on its side. Have you? Well, anyway, the probability is 50%. 50% is going to be heads, 50% is going to be tails. And so, anyway, people work with probability to figure that all out. And what the evolutionists try to tell us is they tell us that given enough time, these things will happen. Well, we need to ask about that. What is the probability of ever getting one small protein made up of 100 left-handed amino acids? Now, the average protein in your body, they tell me, has at least 300 amino acids in it, all left-handed. But to assemble just 100 left-handed amino acids together would be the same probability as getting 100 heads in a row when flipping a coin. Now, in order to do that, you would need to flip the coin 10 times 10, 30 times. That would be 10 with 30 zeros after it. That is a big number. I didn't go any further to see how much time that would take, what the average flip of a coin takes, and if you do it 24 hours a day, how long it would take for you to get to 10 to the 30th power in order to get 100 amino acids together. Now, when I was going through this, and I found out that if you get something that is 10 to the minus 50th power, as far as statisticians go, it's never going to happen. It is an impossibility. Okay, 10 to the 50th power. Now, remember, negative 50th power, excuse me, is an impossibility statistically. So keep that in mind. So what have scientists calculated is the probability of an average-sized protein naturally occurring? And here's the number. 10 to the minus 191. That's almost like four times impossible, according to statistics. That protein's not going to happen. So what about the laws of probability that says that a simple cell, just a basic cell, which we found out are not so simple, but a basic cell would happen by accident, and here's the number, 10 to the minus 40,000. 10 to the minus 50th is impossible. 10 to the minus 40,000 says, I mean, this is like really, really, really impossible that it's going to happen accidentally, no matter how much time there is. Millions of years is not long enough. Billions of years is not long enough. It's just not going to happen by accident. There's a second reason why I don't accept evolutionary theory in the macroevolution sense, and that is that evolution and creation are diametrically opposed. People have tried to say, well, God could have used evolution in the process. He could have superintended it. He could have used that as his means to bring about creation. But I want to remind you that there's a real problem. Evolution says that man came about from death. millions of years of things that lived and died before man ever developed. However, the Bible tells us that death came about from man. Man was first. There wasn't any death. And death is the result of the sin and rebellion of man who turned against God who created him. Now there's no way to put those two things together. They are diametrically opposed. Either man came about as a result of death, or death came about as a result of man. You can't have it both ways. And the Bible tells us and makes it clear when the Bible tells us in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as one man, through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Or Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, which tells us, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it very clear that death came about as a result of man, which means man came first, not death. There's a second reason why they are diametrically opposed, and that is because the Bible makes it clear that in creation, when man was created, the Bible says it was very good. In evolution, original man is not very good. He is very deficient. In fact, they can't even figure out when the prehistoric, you know, pre-people kind of things merged into real people like we are today. So you read about Neanderthals, and Neanderthals were somehow not as good as we are. They were deficient. They were not good. And yet they followed a bunch of other ones that came before them. The amazing thing is, I've got articles in my files that say that the Neanderthals married and interbred with us regular people. Wonder how that happened. Wonder if that'd make us deficient or better. What in the world? But evolution says that it is that process of going from slimy, grimy stuff and then up through this other stuff and then things that were kind of half human, whatever, and finally developed more human-like things and finally made it to us. And the Bible says that when God created Adam and Eve, it was very good. They weren't deficient. They weren't subhuman. They weren't halfway. They weren't a transitional life form. They were people. Very good. The two you can't put together. Hurrying on, there's a third reason why I do not accept this idea of macroevolution, and that is because the inspired writers of the Bible believed in creation. We find it all the way through. If you somehow throw out the idea of creation, then you're going to have to throw out much scripture all the way through the Bible. For example, Moses believed in creation. Deuteronomy 4:32. Now ask now concerning the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth. And ask from one end of heaven to the other. Or how about David? David believed in creation. Psalm 148:5. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Or how about Solomon? Ecclesiastes 12:1. Smartest guy, wisest guy that ever lived at that time. And here's what he said. Remember now your creator in the days of your youth. Or how about Isaiah? Isaiah 40:28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Or how about Ezekiel 28:15? You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. Malachi chapter 2, verse 10. The prophet Malachi said, have we not all one father? Has not one God created us? about the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, Colossians 1:16, for by him, talking about Jesus, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Everything. Romans 1:25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Ephesians 3:9, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, what is the beginning of the ages, have been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Do you know that Peter believed in creation? 1 Peter 4:19, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Do you know the Apostle John believed in creation? Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Or how about Jesus? Did you know that Jesus believed in creation? Now, this is more important than all the others. Mark 13:19, those days there'll be tribulation such as not been since the beginning of creation. And in case we missed it, he goes on to say, since the beginning of creation, which God created. Now, that's like emphasis. This creation, that's what God did. God created. Matthew 19:4-5, he answered and said to them, have you not read? That he who made them at the beginning made them male and female. Or Mark chapter 10, verse 6, for from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. When was the beginning of creation, if you're an evolutionist? Billions of years ago. And then they say all this time went past before people ever showed up. The Bible says on day six, count them, day six, God created man and woman. At the beginning of the creation, not after all these millions and billions of years, that's what Jesus said. God said, Genesis 6:7, the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Isaiah 45:12, quoting God, I have made the earth and created man on it. If we decide that creation is not really true, we're not just talking about Genesis chapters 1 and 2. We're talking about destroying the Bible throughout. For the biblical writers believed in creation, that God created all that is made, and God created people. There's a fourth reason why I don't accept creation. I accept evolution, believe in creation. And that is because of the results. Because to reject creation creates disbelief in the Bible, as I just pointed out, because the biblical writers all believed in creation. So if you say, well, creation's not true, then you have to say, well, then the Bible was not inspired, because these people got it wrong. And if the Bible was not inspired, then the other parts of the Bible really don't matter either, because you never know what in the world is right or wrong in the Bible. Then we just get to pick and choose. We get to decide what parts of the Bible we like, kind of like a cafeteria line. They're all laid out there, and we kind of go through and say, well, today I'd like that one, but not that. That I just don't feel like that today. So I'll take that one over there, and I'll pick out which parts of the Bible I might like and which parts of the Bible I want to serve and pay attention to and obey, and I'll decide the others aren't inspired, and I'll decide they don't matter, and it doesn't make any difference. Listen, that's a terrible way to live a Christian life. If you can even live a Christian life that way. When we reject creation, we are left with an evolutionary foundation, but the tragedy of evolution is there is a hopeless fatalism that underlies the whole thing. Let me just explain it to you. Because if evolution is true, then you're nothing more than an accident. There was no purpose. There was no design. There was nobody saying, I want to create someone in my image. None of that stuff. It was just simply the result of a whole bunch of random experience for random accidents for which there is no purpose. In fact, the only purpose that they can really figure out is to survive. If that's the case, then there is no real morality. There is no real right and wrong. There's no point or purpose to life. There's no meaning to love. There's no meaning to kindness, compassion, gratitude, respect, honor, faithfulness, justice, hope, and a host of other virtues. They are all accidents. Survival is all that matters in life. If evolution is true, then death has no significance any more than life. There's no purpose or reason for anything. Just stumble through trying to survive. But if creation is true, then God has a claim on your life. If creation is true, then your life has a purpose. It has meaning. If creation is true, then there is a right and there is a wrong. If creation is true, then to follow God's ways is right and proper. If creation is true, then there is a morality. If creation is true, then virtues are gifts which have been bestowed upon us. If creation is true, then death is an enemy. But there is an answer. And that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His own life, experienced death, which was the result of man's rebellion. But Jesus, who never rebelled, Jesus, who never sinned, Jesus, who is God come in the flesh, died and experienced death so that we could experience resurrection, new life, eternal life. If creation is true, then the world is not all that there is. There is a heaven. And there is a hell. In the end, it is faith. Neither creation nor evolution are going to be proved by our scientific methods today. Neither one of them. Now, you can listen to the evolutionists who preach a message that results in hopelessness, despair, purposelessness, and anarchy. Or you can listen to the one who lived, died, and rose again with the message of life and purpose and meaning and hope and love. You can listen to some people who claim to have observed a few things which might demonstrate evolution, but who cannot provide even one transitional life form. Or you can listen to the one who created it all, who was there and knows all about it, and demonstrated that He was beyond it all through miracles of healing, controlling His creation, and bringing people back to life after they died. He proved Himself by dying and rising again, something which no scientist has ever done. And they can't do it either. You can believe the books that are written by today's so-called evolutionists who can't make up their minds and then keep changing things as they go along. Or you can believe the book that has held steady through more than 2,000 years of attacks and abuse being written by the one who created our world. As for me, I'll trust God to know what He's talking about. I'll take Him at His word. I may not understand everything, but I believe that He created the world and the things that are in it. I believe He created Adam and Eve, and I believe He created heaven and gave us a way to get there through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't believe there's any other way except through Jesus, the Creator of our world. Will you stand with me? Lord, we live in a world today where the attack on Your word and on Your truth and on creation comes from all over the place. But You were there. and you have given us the record. This morning, if there's anyone here, a part of this service, who does not know you as the Creator, they're missing it. And I pray that you would reveal to them that you are the Creator, and thus you can be the Savior. You are the Creator, and therefore deserve to be Lord in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you will call us to trust you, to take you at your word, having been demonstrated through the resurrection from death to life. And so this morning I pray that you would help to found in us even a greater faith and a realization you created it all. And there at the end of that sixth day you said, "It is very good." And then after the fall, things have gone downhill. Help us, Lord, not to get mixed up and think that somehow it was way down at the bottom. And then over all these years, we're getting better and better and smarter and wiser. No, Lord, help us to realize our answers for hope for the future are found in you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if there's anyone here this morning and say, "You know what? I guess I haven't understood. I've kind of missed it. But I realize now that Jesus is who he said he was. And I want to give my life to Christ. Make him my Savior and Lord." And this morning you can. You can turn to him. If there's anyone like that, would you just slip up your hand and put it back down? Anyone like that this morning? Say, "Yes, I'm turning to Jesus." If you're online, feel free to contact me. Be glad to help you get started in your walk with the Lord. And as we close this service, Lord, may we be awed by the majesty of creation. And in that awe, find our faith and trust through submission to the Creator as we walk with you. I pray for your blessing on your people as we go from here with you. In the name of our blessed Lord Jesus, amen.